Oh, jinx. What are you doing here, Brett? You're trying to jinx the no-hitter? I mean, everybody's jinxing no-hitter. Like, Justin Verlander could have had the fourth no-hitter, but everybody's jinxing it. Like, you're having the same freaking bobblehead here. But what a game. This is like vintage Justin Verlander, and it just seems like he didn't miss any time, and it just seems like he's thrown it. The ball effortlessly, and we have so much to discuss on this edition of the Locked On Astros podcast.
Hello and welcome to Locked On Astros, your daily Astros podcast. Here are your hosts, Eric the Man Heisman and Brett H-Town Wheelhouse Chansey.
We are Locked On Houston Astros, and we hope that you join us for a daily Locked On Astros podcast. My name is Eric Heisman. You can find me on Eric Talk Stros on Twitter, and you can find the show at Locked On Astros, your team every day. Brett, where can they find you at?
They can find me at H-Town Wheelhouse on Twitter and Instagram, and at Stros411 on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Always positive. Haven't jinxed a single no-hitter in my entire freaking life. Always Stros.
Well, I was at somebody's house, and I'm like, you know what? They look like they're getting kind of tired, and I don't know what to do. So, whatever. So, but it was still a no-hitter even after I left. And so, but it just seems like everybody is like all the beat writers, and you have ESPN, you have all the people. And I don't know if you believe in jinxes, and I was talking to somebody and explaining what I mean by the jinx. And I know it's all superstitious, but hey, it's what we do as baseball fans. We believe in the jinxes. We believe it's what makes us fans. We're fanatics. We care about crap like that. And hey, if it makes us lunatics, who cares? But Justin Verlander went out there and threw 8 innings. He threw 89 pitches, and it just looked like he was dominating. He threw like almost 10 pitches per inning. It just looked like he was just throwing. I was telling my friend, I was just like, yeah, it's like he's a Major League Baseball player throwing to pony leaguers.
Well, you know, here's the thing. Justin Verlander, it's like my friend Corey Hightower said on Twitter, I need to get the doctors that the Astros are using, and I just need to use them for my primary care physician, because Justin Verlander's throwing like a 25-year-old Justin Verlander. It is absolutely unbelievable what he's doing on the mound. Eric, if he would have gotten this fourth no-hitter, he would have joined only two other pitchers. Do you know who they are?
Sandy Koufax is one.
Sandy Koufax and Nolan Ryan, the only two that had more than three no-hitters. Yeah, it's like, I mean, this is huge. And I mean, there were a couple hits before that that Bregman absolutely played an amazing, stellar third base. And Alex Bregman, dude, multi-hit game today, gold glove showing. I mean, if Alex Bregman doesn't win a gold glove this year, it's going to be absolutely criminal. He is doing things. He's seeing the ball well. Altuve extended his hitting streak. There's so many storylines in this. And you had this kid with the last name of Ryan, Joe Ryan, coming in, where Nash Walker from Locked On Twins said, well, if he gets his invisible going and if he gets his pitches rising, the Astros probably are going to have a hard time hitting it. And they didn't get a ton of hits, but they got the hits they needed. They got guys on base and they scored. And I love games like this, because this is the Justin Verlander that we've been missing. And imagine, had he stayed in the game again, he would have been fourth or fifth all time in strikeouts. And he just looked great tonight. He looked comfortable. You could tell he was relieved a couple times when they made some key catches on some line drives. But the defense, the unheralded hero of this team, is the defense. I think people recognize the pitching is great, but the defense of this team is second to none.
I know you had Michael Brantley diving in the first inning. You have Bregman's backhand in a shift in sixth inning. Then Maldonado made a good play, and you had a lot of great defense all around just to make. But basically, Verlander just made weak contact overall, and it made it easy. Like I remember when every time that Verlander allowed a walk or something happened, a double play was soon to follow. Like you allowed the walk in I want to say it was the sixth inning or fifth inning or something like that. Then a double play came. Even after the hit in the eighth inning, a double play followed. So Justin Verlander faced the minimum. Just think about that. He faced the minimum and he did what he needed to do. Now, I know Blake Taylor came in ninth inning. It wasn't as pretty, but he got the job done. And so the rest of it's the rest of it's a history, but that would have been so sweet for him to do this after Tommy John surgery, when everybody had some doubts about him. Nobody gave him the deal that he wanted. I know he probably wanted to get a longer deal. I know the Astros, he had it in his heart to come back to Houston, and I know he has the player option for next year, but hopefully he stays. But this dude is showing that he has potential for Cy Young.
I don't think there's any other team. Okay, so look, from 2017 until now, the only other team that can scratch the surface of the amount of success that the Astros have had is the Los Angeles Dodgers. The Astros are really on a plane all their own. And it doesn't stop here, Eric. There is still guys that we are going to see this year later on, next year when they come up. And it doesn't matter what kind of moving parts that this group has, they're going to continue to succeed. And I love Carlos Correa at the beginning of the game talking about Peña and talking about how he talked to him. And I know we'll get to that. But this team, Justin Verlander, I don't see him wanting to go anywhere else, especially if this team achieves the ultimate goal, gets Dusty that ring, gets another World Series ring. It would be, I think, foolish for Justin Verlander to pitch anywhere else. I think he should stay an Astro until he retires.
Joe Ryan, my scouting report as an unofficial scout, as somebody who's not really a scout, he has great stuff. But he was a little erratic today. The five walks, I believe he walked
a lot.
Tucker, how many times? Tucker walked three times himself. And Tucker stole two bases. This is something that he's developing into some speed. And he went, he stole a base. Then he ran second to home on a Peña single. And Peña is looking really good at the plate, too. We'll bring that up. But Ryan looked like he has good stuff. His ERA is still at 2.56 on the season, but those five walks, as a young pitcher, if you're going to walk five guys, especially against the Astros team, that's going to kill you. But the reason I bring this up is the Astros are learning to walk again. They're learning patience. They're kind of having that all around offense. They're playing with that small ball. And that's something that we haven't been, that the Astros have been using a lot recently. And when you're not seeing the home runs, like there's no home runs in this game. The only extra base hit was that Bregman double. And I remember that I think Blum made a comment because the pitching coach came out to the mound and that Ryan was having some trouble. I think it was Ryan or one of the pitchers was having trouble throwing strikes. And Blummer was like, I think the pitching coach is going out there to say, please throw some strikes, but watch throwing strikes to this guy. And then next pitch, Bregman hits that double. So, but they scored the five runs on little ball. There's no home runs.
That's right.
And that's the Astros baseball. I mean, you would love to see chicks dig the long ball, but this type of game with this type of pitching matchup is great.
Wait, are we calling it little ball or small ball? I you know what?
Small
I kind of like,
whatever.
You know what? No. I like little ball because it sounds like we beat you with a more inferior offense. I kind of like that. It's kind of poking fun at the team. But I do want to mention this because I tweeted out about this. The Astros press notes released today said since being acquired by the Astros, Justin Verlander has posted a 47-16 record in his 80 starts. He has a 2.42 ERA. It's probably been adjusted since this game, a 0.83 WHIP. Among starting pitchers in that span, he ranks first in the AL in the ERA, WHIP, opponent's batting average, and win percentage. Now, listen to this, Eric. In his 16 losses, He has given up one run three times with 22 strikeouts. He has given up two runs four times with 34 strikeouts. Now, this is crazy. He has given up three runs two times with 22 strikeouts. He has only given up four runs or more in seven of those games and 53 strikeouts. Of those losses, Eric, he has struck out 11 batters six times. Justin Verlander has been an absolute stellar Cy Young style Hall of Fame pitcher since he came to Houston, and you love to see it.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people are calling out the media for jinxing it, and I know somebody here is
a big you know,
big advocate.
If you're going to tweet it, I'm going to retweet it, bro. I'm sorry. They know exactly what they're doing.
But somebody like Robert Ford is somebody who is getting called out a lot because he's doing the play-by-play on the radio. And this is somebody said, hey, Steve Sparks, somebody please tell Robert Ford to stop jinxing no-hitters. This is the second time this year. And this is what he had to say. Please, I'm paid to keep the listeners informed about what's going on in the game. I called three no-hitters, by the way. And speaking of which, if you want to get paid for doing something that you like to do, why don't you check out LinkedIn?
Yeah, so with spring in the air, it's time for renewal and growth personally and professionally. As your small business grows, LinkedIn Jobs is here to make it easier to find people you want to talk to faster and for free. Create a free job post in minutes on LinkedIn Jobs to reach your network and beyond to the world's largest professional network of over 810 million people. Then add your job and the purple hashtag hiring frame on your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you're hiring so your network can help you find the right people to hire. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. So LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates you want to talk to faster. Did you know that every week, nearly 40 million job seekers visit LinkedIn? Post your job for free at linkedin.com/lockedonMLB. That's linkedin.com/lockedonMLB to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
So the Astros have won 8 games in a row. That's pretty impressive. But what's really impressive is how many runs they've allowed in those 8 games. You ready?
Go ahead.
0-0-2-2-2-2-0-0. No, this is not some type of computer code. This is
how I was like, why didn't you just read the total?
Well, it's more impressive if you actually
hear the zeros. Yeah, you're on 011201.
Yeah, it's just impressive that Justin Verlander's ERA is 1.55 on the season, and his WHIP is 0.64. Yeah, he didn't strike out a lot of guys today. Who cares? He didn't need to. He struck out 5 batters. He has 36 strikeouts on the season, 40 2/3 innings pitch. Could he have gone back out there with on 86 pitches and gone for complete games? Sure. But why? Well, this is a long season. It's a 162 game season. You want him for the playoffs. Why go for the extra inning? And when it's a 5-0 game and there's no chance for a no hitter, that was a clean hit. So they're not going to go back and change it.
So once the Astros got to 3, they are 19-1 now with scoring 3 runs or more. That's the best record, even better than the Dodgers and the Yankees in both American and National leagues. The Houston Astros, while the Angels are on an absolute tear, okay? The Angels are on a tear right now. They are playing out of their minds. But make no bones about it. The Astros are hanging with them, and they haven't even hit their stride offensively. This Astros team, while people are saying the Angels are scary, and I think they have a lot of excitement to offer that they haven't had in the past, the Astros, they are not yet playing up to their full potential in all phases of the game. But a championship team does things different ways in order to get wins. And that's what this team brings you, Eric. They bring you this, and it's an absolute smoke show no matter what happens, whether it's 4 runs or 5 runs or 2 runs, they're getting the job done. And this Twins team had won consecutive games at home, and they've been playing very good at home. They are banged up, And there is something to be said about that, but you still have to go out and you have to field nine players and you have to compete to win. And the Astros took full advantage of the rookie tonight. It looked great.
Yeah. And I mean, I just can't say enough about what Justin Verlander did. I mean, he just looked dominant. He looked like he was total control. Remember Nash Walker asked us on the show yesterday, he was like, so what should we expect from Justin Verlander? And I'm like, yeah, it's going to be vintage like 3-4 years ago. This is a guy who's somebody who's got fountaining youth. He looks like somebody who's going to dominate. And he came out and lived up to what we were talking about. And I think he did better. I mean, I know, granted, Carlos Correa hit the IL, and that possibly helped. I know that Byron Buxton is still not in the lineup. He may return possibly on Wednesday, but there's no guarantee that he gets back. But those are two big bats out of Twins lineup. But this lineup is still a pretty deep lineup, even without those two guys. But those Buxton is one of the Twins' best. He's one of the best hitters in baseball when healthy. So, yeah, what Verlander did was impressive, especially against a good team in the American League.
No, exactly. And things are heating up in the American League as far as who's going to be the contenders, who the pretenders are. I do think that in this division, I do think the Mariners are not going to be anywhere beyond third place. I think this is going to be the Astros at some point this week or this month overtake the Angels in the West. I'm still standing by that. And I think once the Astros take that lead, I don't think they relinquish it for a while, if at all. I just see the Astros being more full steam ahead in the coming days. Altuve has heated back up. Yuli Gurriel got a hit today. He played excellent defense. Oh, Maldonado. I know he's a nothing burger when it comes to the plate, but did you see him almost catch a screaming line drive off of his face mask for an out when Justin Verlander was on the mound? I'm like, this guy has got, like, when you look at him, you don't think that he's quick, but his hand-eye coordination, his ability to improvise off a pass ball, get the ball behind the plate, off the dirt in the grass, and throw a runner out at second, that's why he's a machete. He does have value on this team, and I know people hate seeing him go up to bat, and he's not batting very well. But the value in him is his glove and his defense, and that can't go unnoticed.
And I wanted to point out something I pointed out to my friend while we're watching a game, and Yordan Alvarez broke his bat and almost went to the warning track.
I saw that.
That was legit power for, I mean, he's a big dude, but still, how can you break a bat and still go that far? But I'm looking at Baseball Savant, and in a game of youngsters, looking at the top pitch velocity, you have Justin Verlander, 96.1, 96.1, 96, 95.9, 95.7. So all the guys that pitched in today's game, he was at the top. This is a guy that just coming off Tommy John surgery. I'm impressed. I'm really impressed with everything.
Yeah, here's the thing. And I just read this article tonight while I was watching the game. Clint, the scout who wrote for Larry the GM, I'm not making that up. Clint writes these great articles, and he focused on the velocity of the pitchers. And everybody thought that when Brent Strom would left that the pitching would drop off. Get this, Eric. And this is just Valdez, Garcia, Abreu, and Stanek. This isn't even Verlander. Framber Valdez is up 1.2 miles per hour on his velocity at 93.7. Garcia is up 1.1 or 1.2 at 94.5. Brian Abreu is up from 95 to 98. Ryan Stanek's up from 97 to 98. So these Miller and Murphy are doing a phenomenal job. And there is a lot of work that goes in from these pitching coaches. I saw it firsthand when we went to the home opener. We saw JV out there working in the outfield. Took some footage of him working on his throwing and different things they do and working on location. And this is a very dialed in pitching staff from Javier Bracamonte to Miller. I mean, this is one of the most astute pitching onslaughts when it comes to coaching in the league. That's a huge advantage for our guys. And like someone mentioned earlier, imagine when Lance McCullers comes back. If he comes back and he's even 80% of who Lance McCullers is, watch out, league.
It's like building your pantry full of Built Bars. It's just picking the right one. Oh, who are you putting in that rotation today? Brett, take us away.
I'm so glad you talked about that today, because today I got a notification on my phone because, see, I order Built Bars so much that I actually get text notifications of new flavors. And they have this new Built Puff flavor. It's called Birthday Cake with Sprinkles. Oh my God, it's my favorite. Well, my desk started moving. My lovely wife actually bought a box knowing it was my favorite. But at the same time, I ordered some as well. So here's the deal. I need you to go to built.com and use a promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off your order. That's right. Use the promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off, because all these bars, whether they're bars or puffs, are wrapped in 100% chocolate. The bars average 130 calories per bar, four net carbs, 4 grams of sugar, 17 grams of protein. They're amazing. There's no other bar on the planet that is as good as a Built Bar. So go get them today.
And while you're making the Locked On Astros podcast your first listen, why don't you check out the Locked On Now podcast? And I watched the one yesterday about Shohei Ohtani, and it goes through. And did you know that the Reds are on a 2-game winning streak? If you don't watch the Locked On Now podcast, you may not know, because they've been a terrible team. But Jeff was super excited. He's like, what are 2 wins in a row? So go check out the Locked On Now podcast. They do a great job of putting together all the nows, all the 45-second videos together in one great podcast. So go check out Locked On Now. So you know what I want to talk about now, Brett? I want to talk about the fact that Jeremy Pena, in this game that was supposed to be lived up as the reunion of Carlos Correa and the Houston Astros and Jeremy Pena and everything, I know Carlos Correa didn't play, and so it did become a big deal because Joe Espada got a gold glove and a silver glove, not the actual
platinum glove.
Yeah, sorry, but not the actual like trophies, but just like some baseball gloves that have like patches on them.
Yeah. So what they do is they send the players, like if they win the platinum glove, they send it with a platinum emblem, and they also send them one with a gold emblem. Now, the award is actually a golden glove. It's a glove that's painted gold. I don't know if you saw this. There was a guy from the Savannah Bananas, one of the former gold glove pitchers, actually used his award glove to pitch.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, you know, watching him interact with the players, hugging Jose Altuve, you know, Yordan Alvarez hugging him and Martín Maldonado pulling him away going, okay, that's enough. Like, it was great. And I think you have a quote here about what he said about his quote unquote former teammates.
Yeah, hold on. I need to pull it up, but he had a lot to say about Jeremy Pena. And he said that, hey, Pena, next year, this will likely be your team. You'll be playing shortstop for this team. Go out there in this offseason, prepare yourself as if you're going to play shortstop for this team.
And then
he said, and he did just that. He's had a great start to his career. He's everything I knew he could be. I know talent when I see it. And so before we talk about the other thing, why didn't Jeremy Pena tell us, hey, guys, Carlos ain't coming back. He already told me he ain't coming back.
Because that's not his place. He's a big league player. And he grew up in a big league household. He knows how it is. There are things that go on in the clubhouse and things that are said amongst players that we never know. There are probably things said amongst players that their family members have never heard or don't know. But one of the things that Carlos Correa did say, they asked him what it was like seeing his teammates. And he basically said this, Eric. He said, they're not my teammates, they're family, and it's always great to see them. He also said that he watches the Astros and he follows them, and he's noticed that their hitting hasn't been great, but they've been doing enough to get it done. Their pitching's been phenomenal. It's interesting how much interest Carlos Correa has taken in his former team. You can tell that he truly loved being here. And I know a lot of people said, oh, you know, good riddance, he wanted more money. But I don't know that there's a single person on this planet with that talent or had that opportunity would turn down the money he turned down to try to advance himself in his career.
Well, it's like when you break up with somebody, you don't lose total interest with them right away. It takes some time for you to just kind of like push them to the side. So Carlos Correa is still kind of eyeballing the Astros saying, yeah, they're still kind of good looking. Let me tell you.
Well, because he knows. Yeah. He knows both teams are 18 and 11. And I mean, he was picked number one overall by the Astros.
Right.
You don't lose that. And they are like family. They are friends off the field. You know, baseball players don't go home and talk about baseball and metrics, guys. They go home and talk about family and hobbies and where next vacation is going to be. They don't talk about the field stuff. They do that when it's clock time, when they're trying to grind for a World Series.
Yeah, but this is what Carlos Correa had to say about the actual Twins. He said, "We're having a lot of fun. I was telling them, I freaking love this team. I freaking love to be part of this culture. Everyone's a family. Everyone's together. It's pretty special what we're building here for 1 year."
Did he add the 1 year?
No, I did.
He goes, "And I'm going to be in the soda 1 year and I'm out." No. We're going to build it and tear it down.
What if he's traded at the trade deadline?
Well, I mean, they would have to be completely out of it. And I don't know what kind of trade clause or no trade clause he has. That would all depend on what his contract is. I think it would be insane to do that because then another club's going to have to take on the remaining $35 million, what's left, and then the other options if Carlos decides to pick it up and if a team doesn't want to pick that up. But, hey, look at this, Eric. We got Jeremy Pena. Jeremy Pena is in a battle for the RBI lead with guys like Yordan Alvarez, Alex Bregman, Kyle Tucker. He is in the mix in every category. He is, I mean, Yordan Alvarez right now is on pace to have like a 7 war, which is basically no DH has ever had that. And he's having these MVP type numbers already. I mean, this is insane.
You ready?
Okay, I'm ready. What do you
Thoughts by Dusty.
Okay, you ready? This is Dusty Baker on Justin Verlander. He was good. The guy's a horse.
Is that all he said?
I'm sure he said more, but those are some quotes that came out. I just love the short quotes by Dusty Baker.
He was good. The guy's a horse.
Good he was, yes. Mm.
Like Yoda. It'd be great if Dusty Baker did a Yoda impression. Oh, hey, someone mentioned Springer down here. Get this. George Springer, now the Yankees ended up winning, but George Springer hit a home run in Yankee Stadium. And he was sprinting around the bases like going, yeah. I was like, they were like, Springer's still killing the Yankees in blue.
Yeah, but Pena is doing really good. Before today's game, his 2.0 B war led the Astros, and he had 2 walks today. He had that RBI sacrifice fly. He had the RBI single. Yeah. He looks like his batting average is still low, but I'm not too worried about that. I like the OPS. It's 808, and he just looks like he's ready in those clutch situations, and he's got some speed. He's got the defense. I know he's got the defense. He's leading the shortstops and defensive run saves. So what is there not to like about Jeremy Pena? Is he Carlos Correa long-term yet? Who knows?
No, You can't put that on this kid. I mean, it is way too long. I mean, it is way too long of a season. It is way too early in his career. But look at this. Two walks, like you said, 2 RBIs and a hit and a run. No strikeouts. He didn't strike out. And that's one of the things that you see a lot of young hitters doing, especially against a pitcher that they don't know or maybe they don't know much about because he is a rookie and he's actually been very successful getting a lot of swings and misses. So it was great to see Pena because his game is maturing and his game is moving at an accelerated pace. Now, some people are like, now we got to tamp the expectations. He's going to have a little bit of regression here and there. But to me, if he goes 1-for-3 and he gives me a couple walks a game, he gets on base, he creates runs because he's fast when he scored. The dude's got speed. You know, when he went on that throw from Max Kepler has got a cannon. He's not a bad outfielder. And he beat that throw. And, you got him. You got Chaz McCormick. You got Siri. You've got Kyle Tucker. You've got a ton of speed on the base pass. This team is absolutely still a force to be reckoned with. And I think people are sleeping on them still a little bit because I know the Angels are everybody's darling right now because of Ohtani and Trout. But I think the Astros are built to last longer than any other team in the AL.
All right. We have breaking news. Justin Verlander has cracked who jinxed his no-hitter. He said it was Brian McTaggart.
Did he actually say that?
It's on an interview right there.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So there it is. It says the one where Justin Verlander jokes that I jinxed his no hitter. And you see that big old smile?
Well, of course he did. See, I don't get it. Like, I feel like Jerry Seinfeld.
Superstitious. It's still, what I do does not affect what he does on the mound, but it's fun for us.
The baseball gods are real. There's actually a book by Jonathan Fink called The Baseball Gods Are Real. And I'm telling you, bro, like, it is a thing, okay? And yes, they're reporters, but let me just say this. You don't have to say he's throwing a no-hitter. You can say, look, Justin Verlander is pitching really well. The Twins haven't been very successful lately. Let's stay tuned to see if they continue to not do well. Like, you could do that, but Brian McTaggart and Mark Berman, and actually Chandler Rome said it, but he said it after the other guys. Like, he let the other guys open their mouth.
I think Berman was the first one, but it doesn't matter.
Yeah, Berman. Well, it doesn't matter, but they do it because they know exactly what they're doing. They think it's funny. They're all like, we're reporters. We can do this. It's funny. No, I mean, the fans actually don't think it's funny. And so that's why I retweeted and said, this is on McTaggart and Berman, because when you put yourself out there like that, I'm going to call you out. Hey, call me out if I do it, right? But I can tell you right now, I've never jinxed a no-hitter. Actually, I have. A Bartolo Colon no-hitter. I yelled he was throwing a no-hitter at Minute Maid Park. And so there you go.
All righty. So now that we've talked to your manager.
Was that your way to shut me up?
Yes. But anyway, Justin Verlander after the game said that he wanted he was on a pitch count the whole time. He was on a 90 count pitch count. And so he had to deload after pitching 100 pitches last time.
True. That
makes sense. He had to deload. So he was only going to throw 90 pitches anyway. So I guess maybe the whole game he was like, okay, I've got to be very efficient. So let me not go for the strikeouts and let me just try to go for a contact. And he didn't say that, but maybe that was his frame of mind. And that's why his pitch count was so low. I mean, if you look at today's pitcher, you have the pitchers going for the strikeouts. You have the guys going for maybe they walk too many batters. But Justin Verlander is the perfect example of the old school pitcher, the guy that just makes contact.
And him, Max Scherzer, Clayton Kershaw. I don't know if he's as durable, but he's a bigger bodied pitcher. The Tom Seavers, the Mike Scotts, the Sandy Koufaxes. You know, those guys, that's what these guys remind us of.
Okay. Speaking of breaking news, we need to jinx a no-hitter by Detmers in with the Angels. He has 6 no-hit innings against the Rays right now. Jinx.
I don't mind. Well, it's not saying the word jinx. You got to actually go on Twitter and tweet about it. What is it, dude? The Tampa Bay Rays, I really thought they were going to go into Anaheim. I'm like, okay, this is good competition for the Angels. They're going to lose a couple games. Of course not. No, they go in there and they lay a big fat nothing burger in both games. Like, give up Ohtani's first career grand slam, whether it's Japan or America, first ever. The kid who caught Mike Trout's home run last night, that first of the back-to-back, mm-hmm. the kid was wearing this sweet Angels throwback jersey, put on the cowboy hat. I kind of love the vibe of that fan. And, you know, I'm sorry, it's baseball and it's exciting. I know they're leading the division, but it has kind of been fun watching the highlights of this team. Ohtani is just one of those players you enjoy watching because I think he's genuinely one of the good guys in Major League Baseball. But this is, I mean, what happens, Eric, if at the end of the season we are neck and neck with the Angels and we are fighting and every game means something rather than going, oh, we're playing the Angels, we're 10 up on them. I mean, that might be kind of fun to watch because our bats will be heated up. Lance McCullers will be here. I mean, all this stuff will be happening. Right. It's going to make for a fun and festive season all year long.
And we don't have time to talk about this on podcast, but I saw this on another podcast. I'm not going to really address who it was, but I don't know if you saw it, but James Click, Jim Crane, and AJ Hinch were like talking on the field one day this weekend.
Yeah, I saw that.
Okay. And there's a little bit of speculation that what if
we can talk Baker, about it a little bit.
What if Dusty Baker retires after the season? The Tigers don't look to be getting good anytime soon. What if there's a opening in Houston? Would you welcome AJ Hinch back with welcome arms?
No, I want Joe Espada. Hands down, I don't want AJ Hinch back. I don't want AJ Hinch back because of the way they treated AJ Hinch and fired him. If I was AJ Hinch, I wouldn't want back in Houston. I'll be real honest. Joe Espada has stayed here for a reason. I think there's an under-the-table handshake agreement that Espada takes over, okay? I don't think Hinch comes back. I think because of the controversy tied with when he was here in 17 and him being very vocal about saying, I wish I should have done more, I don't think he would ever step a toe in the water of Houston Astros baseball because of that reason. Not because I don't like AJ Hinch as a manager, not because I wouldn't love to see AJ Hinch in Nationals uniform, but I think the blowback would be too much. And I do think that Joe Espada, Eric, is the guy. And if you've got Carlos Correa saying he's the reason why that Carlos Correa is a Platinum Glove and Gold Glove winner, and Joe Espada is still here when you know darn well he could have been hired by any club looking for a manager this offseason, there's a reason he's still the bench coach. I think this is Joe Espada's team once Dusty Baker rides off into the sunset.
Okay, that's just something for us to ponder. I mean, that kind of piqued my interest. I'm like,
but doesn't that make sense? I mean, why would AJ come back when he was the one that says he should have done more to stop it?
Well, what if there was kind of a, hey, AJ, I've got to suspend you for this year. I'm going to go ahead and hire this Dusty Baker guy. You may have heard him, but he's probably going to be here for maybe a season. And then when you're ready, you can come back. But Dusty Baker did a good job. So he's like, okay.
I think that's kind of spitting in the face of Joe Espada professionally.
Yeah.
Because I think he's earned it. Like Mr. Garcia has said, he's earned it. Bradley said he's earned it. Joe Espada is my guy after Dusty Baker leaves. And I'm going to say that. And I would even tell AJ that if I got to meet AJ and talk to him, loved your time here, but you know what? Joe Espada is the next man up here.
I think it would be a step backwards for the organization and
100%,
because you're trying to distance yourself from the scandal and then you bring back the man. I mean, I love AJ. He was a guy who actually knew who I was. He came out on a podcast one time and, so he actually
Look at Eric flexing.
but as much as I thought he was a good manager, but too much happened underneath his nose. So I don't know. But I wouldn't hate him coming back, but I think Joe Espada
that's where we disagree. I would absolutely hate it. That's the thing, Eric. Bottom line is this team's built for longevity. This team is built for staying power.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we can discuss this later on. We have all season to discuss that if that even becomes a rumor. But you know what we have up next? We have Jose Urquidy versus, is he going to be Astro someday? Chris Archer. because it seems like his name always comes up, but not anymore as it used to.
I was like, why do we don't want him, do we? We got too many good pitchers. We don't need Chris. Chris Archer is, as the kids would say, Chris Archer is mid.
Yeah. Anyway, ooh. So this is going to be another epic matchup, and hopefully Urquidy is able to silence the bats like Justin Verlander did. But Justin Verlander, you did great today, and it's always a pleasure to watch you just do your thing. And hopefully you can do your thing with the Houston Astros for the rest of your career. Brett, go ahead and close this out.
Yeah, you know, hey, just like Bradley says, hey, man, he loves sitting around drinking some brews, listening to us after the game. Man, I love it. Thank y'all so much for your support. We really do listen to everything you say. We see every comment. We see every tweet that you send us. Thank you so much from the bottom of our hearts. So Eric and myself, this has been another great edition of Locked On Astros, your team every day, the eventual ALCS champions. Let's go.